Jesus' name. There was a sailor and a landlubber who went out fishing one day, and the landlubber happened to catch a huge fish. That fish was so big that it actually started to pull the boat. So the landlubber tried to reel him in, and finally the fish made one last dive for freedom and went down so fast that it pulled the landlubber overboard. Well, being a landlubber, he couldn't swim, but he wanted to hold on to the rod and to the fish, and so he came up and he yelled, "Help me, help me, help me, I'm drowning." And so the sailor pulled the boat around and reached down to pick him into the boat, and he grabbed him by the head of the hair, and wouldn't you know it, he was wearing a wig. So he reached down and he grabbed his arm, and his arm was an artificial arm, and it came off. Well, then he reached down and he tried to grab his leg, and of course his leg was an artificial leg, and that came off. The guy came up yelling, "Help me, help me, I can't swim, I'm drowning." And the sailor said, "I would if you would stick together." Well, certainly, how did the early church become so effective and grow so rapidly? Well, the two main ways that they did that was, first of all, they stuck together. And secondly, they had a message that was so powerful and life-transforming that they wanted to share it with everyone. If you'll take out your bulletins and turn to our first lesson today from the book of Acts, it's on page 4 in your bulletins. Peter is standing before the crowd on the day of Pentecost. This is before our reading begins. These people have come from all over the known world, and they speak all kinds of different languages. And when they had gathered, they heard the apostles and disciples speaking in tongues in their own native languages. And they realized that these were simple Galileans who didn't actually have to learn these languages. And so they thought, what is going on here? One of them speculated that maybe these apostles and disciples were drunk. But Peter had to tell them, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These aren't drunk as you suppose. Well, as we read our lesson today, as he's speaking to the crowd, we don't have his sermon here. We're going to hear that on the day of Pentecost. But what we do have is him speaking his sermon and having quite an impact upon the people. Look at verse 37. It says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Just try to do the best you can. Improve your self-image. Don't worry about your behavior. And get in touch with the real you.'" Is that what he said? No, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." He said, for the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That includes you and me. For all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." We could just as easily say that about this generation, couldn't we? Today, Peter would probably have been labeled as intolerant, bigoted, hate-mongering, right-wing fundamentalist. But actually, he was just speaking the truth. There were many who accepted his message and were baptized. In fact, we're told there were 3,000 people that came to faith in Christ and became Christians that day. The first thing the church did to grow was to get out where the people are and to share the message of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers rarely come to church on Sunday mornings, so we have to go out to where they are and find ways to initiate spiritual conversations so that we might have the opportunity then to share the gospel with those with whom we come in contact. We call that evangelism. For the church to grow, there must be people within the church willing to take the risk to go out and to share their faith with others. Luke, in his account of the days following the day of Pentecost, writes in verse 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." This, I believe, is the second reason why the church grew and became so effective. We now get to the heart of what happened to these people after they devoted themselves to Christ, after they were baptized, after they committed their life to Christ and began to follow him. First of all, they were incorporated into the life of the church through baptism, and then that incorporation took on a different form. It says that they devoted themselves. The church becomes a focal point of their Christian life. To devote oneself to is to, according to the dictionary, center one's attention or activities of oneself on something or someone. To what did they devote themselves? Well, first of all, of course, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They really began to study the Old Testament and the teachings of the apostles, which were really the teachings of Jesus Christ, which would ultimately become the New Testament. So they devoted themselves to the study of Scripture. If we're going to devote ourselves to the study of Scripture today, to the apostles' teaching, then we need to commit ourselves to really getting down and studying the Holy Scriptures. We need to do what the prayer book says, to read them, to really pay attention to what they're saying, to learn the Scriptures, and then would inwardly digest them, to really make them a part of our lives. I've been watching a docudrama on the tragedy in Waco many years ago, in which the Branch Davidians were at odds with the government. And one of the things that I noticed about the Branch Davidians is that many of them were not really following Jesus or the teachings of Scripture. They were really following David Koresh. And as a result of that, that began to lead them into dangerous ground. Certainly, although we Anglicans are growing in our knowledge of Scripture, there are many of us who really don't know all that much about what Scripture teaches or about what it asks of us. There's a story of two men who were Anglicans. They were in the office one day, and one Anglican turned to the other and said, "You know, my church has asked me to teach a Sunday school class." And the other one said, "You? Are you kidding? You don't even know the first thing about the Bible." And the other guy said, "Yes, I do. I know a lot about the Bible." And the other guy said, "I bet you $5 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." The guy says, "You're on." And he begins to quote the Lord's Prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake." The guy said, "Okay, stop right there. Here's your $5. You really do know the Scriptures." Well, obviously that kind of reflects some Anglicans who don't really know all that much about the Bible. And so it's important for us, if we're going to really fulfill our role as Christians, to devote ourselves to the study of Scripture. It's important also, I believe, to really follow what the early church did next. And that was they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now the fellowship, the word fellowship in the Greek language is the word koinonia. The word koinonia means the sharing of life together. And so the early church really did that. They shared their life together. If you read the rest of our first lesson today, you see the many ways that they began to share their life together. And so it was not a superficial gathering. It was not just a coffee hour or something like that. They really shared deeply their lives together. They cared for one another. There was a depth to their sharing. They looked for reasons to get together, not for reasons to avoid going to church. They were excited to share their common life together. They talked with each other about their struggles, their successes, their failures. They sought to build one another up and encourage one another. They met in small groups and homes. And then they also met in the temple, which would ultimately become the church. They met as often as they could. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible. Then they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the sharing of their lives together. And the third thing to which they devoted themselves is called the breaking of the bread. They had potluck meals together. They shared meals at homes. They gathered together in more relaxed atmospheres in which they could really share at a deeper level with one another. And they continued to do so as they met throughout the week many times. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me." Now that phrase, to eat with them, means to have a relationship with them, to have fellowship with them. When we invite Christ to come into our lives, he comes into our lives through the Holy Spirit, and we have a relationship with him. We have fellowship with him. We can communicate with him, and he with us. And so Jesus invites us to open the door of our hearts, the home of our hearts, if you will, so that he can come in and have fellowship with us. They devoted themselves also to the sharing of communion with each other. They regularly had communion each week as an important part of their regular worship. because Jesus had told them that it was important to do that because it would remind them of his sacrifice on the cross, and would also remind them that he was with them and that he cared for them, and that they would receive a strength by receiving the sacrament each time they got together. So why is communion so important? Well, the answer is found in our first lesson, our gospel lesson today, which Jesus was, these two apostles or disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them. And it says that they were kept from recognizing him, but they invited him to come to their home for a meal. And so when they were at this meal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And it says immediately their eyes were opened. They recognized that it was Jesus. There's something powerful about communion. When we have communion together and we break the bread together, Jesus can reveal himself to us. We can feel closer to Jesus. When we have communion with each other, we also can feel closer to one another. And as we worship together, we all can be drawn closer to Jesus Christ as a church. It says that he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. There's a sense in which we get to know Jesus better when we celebrate communion together. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the scriptures. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the sharing of life together. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, to sharing meals together, and then having communion together. And the final thing to which they devoted themselves was to prayer. Prayer was the foundation of everything that the early church did. They gathered together, they prayed individually, and they prayed corporately. When a church prays individually and corporately, then it has a better chance of having really a sustained growth in that church. As each individual prays individually and corporately, the church will have an easier time to have some sustained growth. The church has a great foundation. This church has a great foundation of prayer through our prayer chain, through our prayer ministers, through the various prayer offerings that we have, as well as our Book of Common Prayer. And so those things really form a great foundation. We also have many people in this church who pray regularly. And so when I pray, I begin to see God doing things in and through me. My problems don't seem as great as they once were. Much of my temperament is as level as it should be. I often find that when I pray, my problems don't seem as troublesome as they once were. And certainly I have a different perspective on life, all because I pray. Only when I devote myself to prayer do I really see any consistent success in my life. So what happened to the church, the people of the church, when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer? Well, it says that the church grew rapidly. They added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Is it possible that the Lord can add to the number of St. Anne's Church daily those who are being saved? Well, I believe it is possible as you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would give us the heart to devote ourselves to these things we've heard about today. And as we devote ourselves to that, would you do your part to increase our number? Would you do your part to increase the level of commitment on the part of each one of us to you? And would you also continue to feed us through your word and sacraments so that we might be prepared to do the things you ask for us each week in our life? We ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit that you put inside of us. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Amen.